Certificate of appropriateness in the Borough of Manhattan, docket number 032628, block 1122, lot 36 and 37, 8 West 70th Street, Congregation Sheriff Israel Synagogue, individual landmark, and in the Upper West Side Central Park West Historic District, an academic, classical, and Beaux-Arts style synagogue designed by Brunner and Tyron, and built in 1896-97. This is an application to demolish the existing community house and construct a new building.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Michelle Hunter, Preservation Staff. The interest of time, I'd rather not repeat what the team will be elucidating for you in much greater detail. I expect to say that there are models here and here, and the presentation that will be available.
Thank you. Without objection, the hearing is open, and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, Commissioner. My name is Shelley Freeman. I'm the Council of Israel. This is an example of a new application to the Commission, but we need to say at the outset that the congregation's professional staff has been informed and well informed of that by the preceding body of public testimony and public hearings that the commission has held on our proposal for the site. And that in many respects, although this is a new application, we feel that this presentation is a response to the commissioner's comments last received December 9th, 2004. Those comments went into extraordinary length on their reaction to the public testimony on all sides of this issue, both with regard to the congregation's position on many aspects of the previous application and to those who appeared in opposition. The building that was the subject of the December 9th comments was a 14-story plus one penthouse building. It was the building that you will see today in the presentation is an 8-story plus two penthouse building. The critical dimension with regard to the reduction in height is that the last building you saw was 184 feet to the top of mechanical equipment. The building that you're going to see today is 124 feet, 5 inches, to the exact same location, the top of the parapet of the new building. Because we consider those comments so important and what you see today so embedded in what we heard in December, I have taken the liberty, and because it's a new application, we don't have this presently in the record, I've taken the liberty of making copies of a transcript of the December 9th hearing, which I would like to enter into the record, and I have copies here and provided copies to the
landmark perspective, which is a continuation of the other one, an amendment to their previous approval, but I think they're treating them this way, given that we can go back through the whole public process and talk to everybody as well. So,
well, I don't know. We've never discussed this, right? What the old record is part of this.
Yes,
it is.
So
you don't have to
enter. Prepared this. Well, I'm going to be referring to this transcript, Chairman, so if you have no objection, I'd like to just distribute copies of it.
Distribute it to us?
To you, yes.
If you want, sure.
Thank the pads reflect individual commissioner statements. Because we're going to be referring throughout this presentation to what we believe we were asked to consider by in regard to the commissioner statement. And obviously, there are new commissioners since that day as well, so we're going to be extra mile by providing this transcript. We begin our application by, in fact, pointing out that the site itself was the subject of a major policy discussion about whether this site is a mid-block site or whether it is an avenue site. And it was the congregation's position that this site should be considered an avenue site, and it was the opposition's position that it should be considered a mid-block site. We were informed and instructed by Vice Chair Ben Garcia's comments in the December 9th transcript, as well as by Commissioner Olcott's comments. It didn't seem to matter whether it was referred to as Commissioner Olcott as a transitional site or as Vice Chairman Ben Garcia's comments referring to it as an individual opportunity, without describing it as either Big Rock or Avenue. But the site represented a unique possibility and opportunity for doing something that was reflective of the historic district. Former Chair Paulson's position in the testimony was that, you know, she found that the historic district report acknowledged the fact that this quadrant of the historic district was atypical. It did not reflect the typical mid-block pattern of tall buildings on the avenue and rock-stone development in the mid-block. And we have our area model here, but even in the broader sense, the position was that this was a part of the historic district with a very unique typology of tall buildings, both on the avenue, moving off the avenue, stretching from the avenue deep into the mid-block, and indeed in the mid-block itself. And so from all those positions, we have come back with a building which we believe should address the concerns raised. It is neither an avenue building, but then again, it is not a typical brownstone mid-block building. It takes as its mark the cornice line of the building immediately next to 18 plus 17. And its cornice line matches the cornice line of the building, which is in the mid-block, to its immediate east. Therefore, we are hopeful that while we're disappointed that we weren't able to persuade the commission on the avenue characterization of this block, we recognize that we've spoken. The discussion, as far as we're concerned, is over, and we're here to present you a building which we believe responds to that modulated view that we heard from several of the commissioners on that day. Also, with regard to the Section 74711 aspect of the application, we listened carefully to the testimony, and the commission seemed to be divided on whether this was the site that was appropriate for 74711. We have responded by eliminating the 74711 aspect of this application. The primary purpose of the 74711 application was to transfer more bulk than we could under the zoning from over the synagogue to the building site. Using the generally accepted method of calculating the allowable floor area, we would have been entitled, as of right, to a floor area ratio of 8.38. The building is now well under that floor area ratio. Therefore, the major purpose of pursuing the 74711 is no longer with us, and we have withdrawn that aspect of the application. We still do not reflect a building that is totally as of right. We need to respond to some aspects of both our own institutional needs and the needs we heard on December 9th. Will require us now to go to the Board of Standards and Appeals and Variances. We know we're here on certificate of appropriateness, and the certificate of appropriateness only. We are prepared to talk about the zoning issues. We understand that that's not the Commission's major concern, but we are fully prepared today, if you so wish, either now or later on in the day, to take and improve the zoning provision by provision to show you that while we have variances, we no longer have the major variance that was a concern for last meeting was transferring the bulk from the avenue to the district. We have traveled with this application to many points. We are very happy that we have the Union Board 7 resolution that you find in your packet. While you will see that it is a resolution that still does not support the application, because of design concerns that it had, it does specifically address in a positive statement the height and scale of the building as appropriate. We feel that their concerns now are what all of our concerns are, to design the best possible building, and that their concerns have been sent up to you so that they can help you in your work with us in making this the most appropriate design possible for this site. However, it's clear that unlike the previous application, where they specifically objected to height. They specifically objected to scale. The community has now spoken, and with a statement that reflects acceptance and approval and support for the height and for the scale of the building. We have a voluminous history in this application, and I do not intend to go through all of it. I do think perhaps the best thing to do now in terms of the architectural presentation, we'll begin with Stan White, and then we'll be able to, be very happy to address any questions you have now or following the architectural presentation. But we're very excited. Excuse me, we have to make the architectural presentation.
And before Sam comes on, just so everyone can set this at the outset, we'll have an applicant. The applicants will make the presentation, which they're now in the process of doing. And we reopen the public hearing. And people and the public is here to be heard. That will be the next day after the presentation. We'll have a public hearing with all the views presented of those who are here, those who have signed up. And then an opportunity for the applicants to respond, comment, whatever, and respond to that or anything else they wish. Some questions from the commissioners, which could take place at any time during the process. And then we'll see basically what time it is and whether we want to go forward with further deliberations or today or put that off to a subsequent public meeting, which would not be in the distant future. But that part of the process would be vetted, let's say, the discussion among Landmarks commissioners in public, of course, and or the vote would be very unlikely to be taken. The vote very unlikely to be taken today. But the discussion, we could actually start it, maybe some of the commentary, I'm not even certain of that, but we would have both a discussion and a vote, presumably, at a subsequent meeting if it doesn't take place today. So with that, I'm going to ask the applicants to continue. Was there something you want to raise?
Mr. Chairman, if you
wouldn't mind going with the... Since we're in a public hearing mode, and identify yourself by name.
I'm Mark LeBeau, and I'm the counsel for the opposition, which consists of the three Smith Cooperative Partner Houses and other people in the neighborhood. I have objected in the past to the opposition, which is represented by counsel, and not having a formal reply to the presentation. I know that this is an applicant's process and not a public hearing. I have urged that you change rules that when we have counsel appearing to the opposition, that they have a chance to formally respond before you go to the public hearing. I would ask you at least when the public hearing starts, if we can send you our speakers in the order that we want to send them to.
Absolutely. You don't mind. Absolutely. I'm delighted to do that. Thank you. Proceed.
Is that one? First and over.
Thank you, Shelley. I'm Sam White, Plant Fire to White Architect for the Conservation Technology Israel. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon. I'd like to say that I'm going to be talking to you about the programming, planning, stacking, section aspects of our application. I'm not going to get you through that quickly, so you simply know what's in the building. And then my partner Ray Novell will be talking about how we have designed the envelope and facades to accommodate that planning and stacking. So I'm part A, if I can bear with you. The application that Shelley referred to for 14 stories is one of the in-house that's shown here. This was submitted to Landmarks back in late June. Our hearing date was July 2nd, 2003. But this was the building that you previously saw. I'm going to leave this drawing up not because of the previous application, but because it's quite a good representation of the existing synagogue, and a lot of our design works on that synagogue. I'd like to tell you about the program in the building. This building has approximately 45,000 square feet above grade, and the total building, including the space below grade, works out to about 58% synagogue-related use and 42% residential use. It's about a 50-50 split above grade, but it's a significant amount of construction below grade. The program for the synagogue use breaks down into a number of categories. There are existing synagogue programs which we are accommodating. The classrooms, offices for the synagogue. There are upstairs a worship space for the synagogue, a small synagogue within our new design. There is also a multi-purpose facility in the basement. But there's an aspect of this building which doesn't fall under program use, but exists because it is going to make the synagogue space itself work. This building, designed by Brunner, had a tremendous attitude toward Center Park West and the front, and it has this wonderful porch with a recessed three openings, and it just says entrance, but it is in fact not the entrance to the synagogue. If you were to go in these doors, you would find yourself entering this the synagogue space, the sanctuary space, behind the bima, which is liturgically inappropriate. And so, and that's because the orientation of the worship space inside places the bima at the east end. As a result of that, these gates are typically locked. They're unlocked for high holy days when there is a heavy use of the synagogue space itself. They're needed for emergency egress. But this is not the front door of the synagogue. The working front door of the synagogue is down here. You come in at the other end of the synagogue space. This was designed as a side door. And it has, if you enter a half a level below the main sanctuary space, there's a stair right in front of you. So in a situation where you have a lot of worshipers, it's a rainy day, and people are working with their umbrellas, things can get quite tight in here. So part of our program was to create a space that started to make the existing synagogue work. It makes it work. We're creating a more gracious entry. We're making the main sanctuary space accessible to handicapped, just a half a level up. And so we had to spend a certain amount of program space dealing with that. And then also gives you access to those spaces above. So it makes it safer, it makes it more accessible, and it makes it, I think, more dignified. And that's a component of our program space. The other program space is the offices. The synagogue does have a large congregation that does have offices. They also have classrooms. And you may hear that the synagogue rents its classrooms out to an independent contractor school. That's true. Synagogue is not building classrooms for the sake of the independent contractor. The synagogue is building classrooms for its own use. It's just that when they are using those classrooms, it's not when a day school needs the classrooms. And so they are able to rent the space out and use it twice. That's a summary of the program spaces in our new building. After that, residential stacked above that. I'd like to take you through the site plan, the existing site. This is Central Park West, 70th Street North. Those of you who are not familiar with the site, there's an existing four-story community house and a vacant lot on that site right now. In previous hearings, we discussed, and I believe we really got over the point that it was satisfactory to the commission that this application be the demolition of the existing community house. If there are questions about that, we're happy to bring it up again. We are proposing to build on that entire site. It's 64 feet by 100 feet. The site, from a zoning point of view, includes the synagogue, a large one-story space, essentially above grade, and then an existing community house, a much smaller building you see right through there, three stories. And that constitutes the parcel of land for zoning purposes, but we are building only on the site of the community house and the vacant lot next door. The first floor will address, from the synagogue's perspective, address principally those points I was talking about in terms of making the synagogue more accessible, more convenient, and safer. Major portion of the first floor will be lobby, entrance to the synagogue, an entrance of grade, half a level up to the synagogue space itself. There will be elevators stopping at that half level up. And in addition, we're providing cloakroom facilities, including toilets. We're moving the small synagogue as a worship space here, which is quite significant. 18th century decorative elements that we are proposing to move. The reason for that is the circulation into the other synagogue space currently takes place through the small synagogue, and so when there are prayers going on in the morning, everyone has to wait out here in order to get to those rooms there. So by moving it here, we rationalize the circulation of the synagogue. We're also on the ground floor able to provide program space for functions which the synagogue has but is not able to accommodate on site. The synagogue has a significant archive of artifacts and documents related to the Jewish occupation of Jewish establishment and worship of, in America, really since 1654, I think. This is over 120 years before the founding of the United States. They have those papers. They can't have them on the site because there is no place where they're proposing to include an archive in our space on the first floor. There will be a small residential entry. This is the western end of the site. It's a front door with control and elevators going up to the residential floor as well. Most of the image of the ground floor and most of the frontage is taken up by the synagogue space. There will also be a small service vestibule for bringing goods into and out of the building. There's a staging area right there with a small elevator going down to the multi-purpose space in the basement. The second floor and third and fourth floor are going to be divided in, allocated to offices and classrooms for the synagogue. This shows the second floor. We're proposing to build the first floor full. The small synagogue has a high ceiling, so we'll be taking advantage of that 23-foot rule allowable in zoning for building full on the site. And we would be expanding the archive space as well. But essentially, the second floor, third floor, and fourth floor will be some configuration of classrooms and offices, providing, in addition to that, elevator access to balconies at the very upper levels of the synagogue. Starting at the fifth floor, we'll have residential use of this building. There's a 30-foot backyard here. Down below, there's a 20-foot backyard. I'll show that to you in a section. This is the fifth floor plan, and it's a proposed plan. This shows two apartments on the fifth floor. It's possible that the fifth floor may be divided that way, but we think it's much more likely that those floors are going to be single floor apartments. They're about 4,500 square feet each, and we expect that the layout of the apartments, that the public rooms, dining room, library, kitchen, living rooms, would be on the north side facing 70th Street, while the private rooms would be on the south side facing the backyard. You typically do not get above the back wall of the synagogue for 4, 5, 6, or even 7. And if seventh floor would have a partial view, just a slight partial view looking out over the parapet wall of the synagogue, whereas on the eighth floor there would be a full view looking out over the synagogue. It's really a testament to how big that synagogue building is. It's a one-story space, and you have to get to the eighth floor before you can see over its wall. This is a very, very big building. And that will have an impact on our design as well. So 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 are full floor, 4,500 square foot apartments, probably. On the ninth floor, the penthouse, first penthouse floor, we have full building in of all floor size. What we are doing with respect to this penthouse is now centering it on the ridge of the synagogue, the center line of that point, which is not quite the same as the center line of our building. So there's a slight adjustment, and so that the ninth and tenth floor of this building, which are the two penthouse levels, have slightly unequal relationship front to back to the building down below, but create a crowning which does center on the synagogue, which you can see here in this model. We expect that the two penthouse floors themselves will constitute a single apartment. The core doesn't shrink, so you end up with less and less space as you're going up. So that's ninth and tenth floor will probably be a single apartment, approximately 4,500 square feet. Above that, we have the roof of the upper penthouse level. We have a stair and elevator bulkhead. We also have mechanical equipment shown here in the model. We're proposing to use dry coolers. It's a closed circuit cooling tower. It's about 4 feet high, staying in legs. It's different than what we had proposed back here, which was a full-blown wet cooling tower. One of the differences is because it's a smaller building, the air conditioning model is much smaller, and therefore we can use smaller equipment. And then, looking then at the top, the very top of the building, the right point of the building is the stair bulkhead, 120.5. Elevator bulkhead is lower than that, and the mechanical equipment is lower than that. I'd like to finish up by two section delays. Starting off when you're right, that this is a section looking south. Some of you may remember that in July of 2003, in previous submissions, we had set the building back about the fifth floor, set it back 10 feet off the synagogue. And we felt that that was a formal move that was justified by the height of the building that we were building. It is a move that we believe is not justified by the current height of the building, so we are no longer setting back off the synagogue. This drawing also shows a couple of things. This is the this dotted line shows the original July 2003 application compared to our current application. It shows the breakup of 58% synagogue space, including the space below grade, to the 42% apartment space above. This dotted line shows the as-of-right zoning in the R10 district. It actually extends the area over the synagogue itself within the R10 district, so that larger envelope would include that. But just on the building side, we have that much available to us in R10. And it starts to show where our height and setback problems are going to be that we need to require if we'll go to the Board of State's appeals. This section shows that we are building the site full of ground floor to take advantage of the zoning provision that allows us 23 feet in height for a full building. Shows that we would have a 20-foot rear yard for the synagogue spaces on floors 2, 3, and 4. We would require a variance from the BSMA for that 20-foot rear yard. Then at the fifth floor, we go to return to a 30-foot rear yard as of right, and 5, 6, 7, and 8 will have that 30-foot rear yard. This shows setbacks. This initial setback is not only higher than what is permitted by zoning. This dotted line shows the RAD zoning. So our setback here is not only higher than what's permitted, it's actually less dimensionally, maybe less than what is required for your initial setback. This should be occurring down lower, and it should be a little deeper. But this shows the essential stacking of that. It also shows how we're dealing with the fact that with a building that's 8 stories tall, and essentially restricted by the height of the building next door, we are dealing with essentially a set of compressed floor heights on this building. And we're going with a split level at the ground floor, where you come in and there is a 16-foot, 4-inch floor-to-floor height between the ground floor and the second floor. And that just gives, we think that creates a more dignified entrance to the synagogue and relates better to the scale of the interior of the sanctuary itself. Then, within the entrance space, you go up a few steps to the upper level of the small synagogue, the archive, and the main synagogue itself would be at that level, or down a few steps, hopefully, the siblings itself. These drawings also show sight lines. These are technical sight lines. You are standing directly across the street, directly opposite our building, which I think number 10 West 70th Street. You would not see the penthouses, the bulkheads, and the camera. But we know that you will be able to see the penthouses, bulkheads, and camera from many, many points on this. Just because you're directly across the street and can't see it, and just because you're directly in front of the synagogue and can't see it, there are a great many points where you can see what's going on at the top of this building. If you stand at the corner of 70th Street and Central Park West, you get a view which we have included in our booklet. If you stand opposite the parish house, the parsonage, you get this view, it's an oblique view up back over the synagogue, and you get to see the back, not this proposal, but our current proposal. Again, we have a photograph showing that. If you stand in Central Park, there are a number of places, I would have to say a great many places, where you will be able to see this. I myself went back into the park, standing where the rest of the statue is, which is about 72nd Street, a third of the way across toward the east side. It's where the 72nd Street meets the West Drive. You get quite a good view of the water tower of building number 18, and therefore you would be getting an equally good view of the upper portion of this building. And we have included that image in our package as an insert. We don't mind those views. We spent a lot of time designing the upper portion of this building. We spent a lot of time designing the facade of the building that overlooks the synagogue, and we welcome those views. And we think that there are going to be many opportunities to see them. That really concludes my portion of this. I'd like to turn the presentation over to my partner, Ray Bell.
Good morning. why you want to start B of the presentation. I'm going to start talking about some issues that Shelley raised earlier relating to the context of the project, specifically the specific Central Park West and 70th Street context. What Shelley had pointed out earlier, and which has been key to the design of this project, is the understanding the scale shifts that happen in this district. The Central Park West edge of the side here is composed of 16, 17, 18-story buildings that we're looking at. The Dakota is here. The Majestic is here, going up 32 stories. These buildings are back, some are pushed forward. The apartment houses are generally pushed forward. This then is the synagogue space, looking down 70th Street here. The real interest in this is the shift in scale from very large apartment buildings to the smaller townhouses with the incremental apartment buildings, but it's also this quite dramatic shift in scale where when you get the residential texture meeting the synagogue. The synagogue is a monumental structure. It's got broad flanks of masonry. It is a much different scale, much different character and significance on the street. So the design that we'll get to in just a minute is really trying to mediate and trying to thread a fine line between these different local contexts. This is the existing community house which we will draw. Again, 70th Street. Townhouses one after the other, with the exception of the nine-story apartment buildings. The color is very but generally in the palette of some red brick along 70th Street, buff brick. Before I go on, this is the local area right behind the building. So this is the eastern courtyard component of the building, which is primarily brick and mushroom goes. These are line drawings just illustrating that dramatic shift in height that I was talking about. You can see the extremely, high buildings marching along the park, the synagogue here, the back of the apartment building, nine-story apartment building directly to the east. 70th Street along here, the two nine-story apartment buildings, a block of repetitive townhouses all set back off the street, the synagogue and the community house. This is the streetscape with the July 1st proposal in place, showing the 15-story building here against the backdrop of the apartment building to the south. This is the current proposal, which is in the model in front of you there. It is responding directly to the cornice line of the building is directly pulled through here, and we believe it addresses this location of it against the avenue as well as the street. The scale seems to work. Cornice lines carry across. To the building itself, this, of course, is what was seen in 2003. This is the current proposal. The 70th Street elevation is composed of limestone and above color brick. The thinking in designing this project was how to mediate between the scale shift between the synagogue, which is the large, you know, monumental architectural components, against the very finely textured residential streetscape, which goes all the way down 70th Street. So we looked at this as an opportunity to really try to marry some very different architectural components. And the way we did that, we learned the lessons from the last proposal in that we have kept a separation here, although it's not a physical separation, it's an implied separation that sets back off the street plane by 256. What we did is we took the monumental aspect of the synagogue as well as the synagogue use and clad it in limestone, in Indiana limestone, similar to what's on the building now. And against that, we introduced a more finely textured brick screen that is at the street plane. And then we inserted one into the other, married them together in a way that seems to respond very nicely to the scale of the synagogue, with a broad flank of limestone coming down and turning under. And then a brick screen that comes across from the east with a glass plane which is set back 6 inches from the street plane, along letting us introduce a glass corner at this edge, which you can see here in the model. Above the cornice line, we have two setback floors of penthouses, which will be clad in painted metal, a light gray painted metal, with glass. The drive wheels, as I mentioned earlier, are these slender bars that occur across the top here. The elevator overrun is considerably diminished because we're putting the machinery in the hoistway so that you don't have an elevator overrun. We're able to do this in 4 feet above the last, above the roof of the structure. So to go through the materials, once again, Indiana limestone along the synagogue front, brick, painted aluminum and glass. This is a detail of how the building hits 70th Street. The limestone coming down, which is pushed back 2'6" off the street, which returns and lets us provide the entry to the synagogue. Synagogue doors with a light bronze screen that would flow in front of glass in this area. A very taut glass and metal canopy occurring along here that extends a total of 5 feet, but only 2'6" over the lot line. And then the residential entry in the brick with also a small metal and glass canopy. These are sections that describe those components. Here you see the entry to the synagogue here, the small canopy, and then through the curtain wall at the glass corner. Floor plan showing what's happening locally, the residential entry through here to the right, the synagogue entry here with a service stair centered that has a door through one of the decorative screens, through the decorative metal and glass screens. This is a midsection through the building, again with two plan section elevation through with two sections showing what happens through the masonry here. Again, it's a gauze colored brick with a projecting transom element that rides here, wrapping the corner, which you can see right here on the model. This is the upper portion of the building. Again, with the limestone box that I was referring to coming up and turning over the top of the building, so it captures the building along the edge, rides back to the east, and has a face on onto the park here. And I'll show you that in just a minute. The balance of materials up above are the painted metal and glass up here, very taut, trying to let this recede as much as possible. The dry coolers, the elevator overrun, the first penthouse setback, level setback 10 feet, the second one setback 10 feet. The deck that you can see around the side here on the 8th floor. Now, how that illustrates how that all tapers back. This is a line drawing, just as Sam said, illustrating the technical sight lines, which we will come to with some vignettes in just a minute.
If you can speed it up a little bit, okay. We're already running.
Okay. This is a vignette taken looking down 70th Street, so you will see a portion of the building in this location. This is a vignette taken down 70th Street, looking west, looking east, and you can just see, you can't see the penthouse here, which is the Cornus line at that location. To the Central Park West elevation, which is we used the limestone masonry as a centering device, and we were able to push the mass back and to center it over the synagogue. Columns, the column modulation continues through, and we end up with a simple expression of a curtain wall looking out over the park. Again, a sideline drawing, which you can see from 70th Street, and then an elevation of that. Simple expression of limestone up and over with a curtain wall bay in the center and then the aluminum glass of the penthouse at the end. And materials, let's to the south facing elevation, again, the limestone box returning back with a simple brick expression in back to the residential component of the project with the community facilities classroom functions down at this level. This plane is set back 20 feet from the lot line. This goes back to 30. And then the penthouse again set back beyond that point. And then a drawing showing you what you will see from Central Park West directly in front of the synagogue. Circulating, there are two additional vignettes which show the building from the park, which were distributed to you, and from the park, what's the other one? Goes 369th Street. And then, last but not least, the east elevation of the project, which is just a brick sheet in the courtyard of the adjacent building. And that materials. We're using a clear glass with aluminum coating here. The aluminum is a light warm gray color. The limestone, Indiana limestone, similar to what this is on the synagogue. The brick, we're looking at using a buff brick in a 16-inch here on the 70th Street end, and the brick on the back will be a buff color brick in normal size. And you can see one final.
Mr. Chairman, that completes our technical presentation. We only have one more speaker in that as part of our presentation, and that is the President of the Congregation Church of Israel, Peter Buscatter.
Sure. My name is Peter Buscatter, and I'm the Congregation Church of Israel. And I'd like to make in front of this committee the one-story building that addressed the park, the avenue, and landmark synagogue building in 70th Street. The comments from the commissioners was that our building should be reduced in size, concentrated on relating more to the landmark, the street wall west of our location. Today, we are presenting a revised application that reflects your recommendations. Our community house, together with the adjacent lot, which is the site of our proposed building, continues to deteriorate as our congregation expands and its need for more space increases. During the past year, we have had to move our synagogue offices and the community house to make room for additional classrooms. More synagogue life cycle events are being held off-site due to lack of space. And our historic archives, which contain the 17th and 18th century history of the New York Jewish community, have been relocated to New Jersey. We have taken your comments seriously, and have asked our architects to enlarge the height and bulk of our building to address the street while to continue to highlight the landmark. It is easy to criticize and tear down, but difficult to create and build. Our architects have met the challenge and have designed a multi-use building that provides for the needs of our congregation, highlights the landmark while relating to the building's best of us. We congratulate our professional team for combining so much in a reduced space. Today, we trust that you will find our revised application an appropriate response to your previous recommendation.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Maybe your testimony and then questions. If you could hold your questions. I would like to invoke 30 seconds to get a